Wow, what a time we are experiencing here on planet Earth. I really decided to do this event rather last minute. Over the last several weeks, I've been watching this crisis rippling through the human community and seeing the impact it's having on all of us, and just kind of thinking, how can I help? How can I support the community that I have access to help everybody get through whatever challenges are coming up for you? Because let's face it, there are a lot of challenges coming up. And over the next hour and a half, what I'll be doing is guiding you through a series of what I sometimes call inner postures, but these are really spiritual practices, spiritual practice orientations and direct spiritual practices, all of which are practices that can profoundly support us during a time of challenge. I know many, if not most of us, are spiritual practitioners, and we're probably all finding already that having a meditation practice, having a regular spiritual practice, is giving us a lot of strength and solidity, maybe relative to some others in our lives who are really struggling and we're feeling the benefits of it. I also am hearing from a lot of people who are saying, wow, well, I've been meditating a long time. I have a solid practice, but this is stretching me in ways that I really did not expect. This is stretching me in ways I couldn't have imagined. And just to talk a little bit about the way I approach spiritual practice, I teach a practice that I call the practice of direct awakening. And the essential premise behind it is that there is such a thing as spiritual awakening, and there is such a thing as awakened consciousness. We have a true nature that is beyond the mind and ego, a dimension of who we are that is already profoundly wise, strong, resilient, loving, fluid, agile, creative. In other words, there's a part of us that already has everything we need to meet a great challenge, to meet any challenge, anything life could throw at us. And spiritual awakening is about awakening to that. It's about awakening to that part of us. It's about bringing it forth, allowing it to express itself, allowing it to infuse our consciousness and then flow out into our life and into this world. And so when I talk about the practice of direct awakening, what we're doing in these practices is we're essentially taking the natural characteristics and qualities of awakened consciousness and turning them into practices we can do, not because we're trying to get better at a certain skill, but we're doing practices that, because they're the natural practice, they're the natural ways that awakened consciousness relates to life. They're the natural ways we would be responding and relating to our experience if we're fully awakened human being. Because they're rooted in that, they are essentially ways of inviting spiritual awakening to show up in our experience. Each of these practices is an invitation to the deepest part of you to come forth, to show up, to fill you with the capacities you need to meet the challenge of the moment. So we're not practicing to try to get better. We're not practicing toward a future moment when we're going to finally have a lightning bolt of enlightenment come down and hit us in the head and change our life all in one instant. Instead, we're practicing being awakened. We're practicing being enlightened. We're practicing resting in, standing in the deepest, most extraordinary, sacred dimension of who and what we are. One of the great challenges we have when things are falling apart is that there is a tendency to desperately want to know what's going to happen, to want to know what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen to other people, what's going to happen to our world, what's going to happen to the economy. You know, some of us are staying home and we're starting to feel more agitated. Oh, what does it mean that I'm agitated? I don't know. We want to make meaning. We want to understand what's happening. It's one of our most basic human drives. And the desire to understand is good, but it can be, it can really find its limits at a moment like this, when, let's face it, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, can you think of a time in your life when you knew less about what was going to happen than this time? We don't know whether we're going to be in our houses for a few weeks, months, half the year. We don't know whether the pandemic's going to slow down a lot, whether it's just going to whether it's going to keep accelerating because not enough people are doing social distancing. Like, we are, it's so in the unknown. The jobless rate, you know, there are just so many things every day. And, and we're all kind of very much trying to know. Now, one of the profound qualities of spiritual awakening is that it liberates us from our attachment to knowing. It liberates us from the need for certainty. It enables us to live in the unknown and to be comfortable in the unknown. In general, human beings are not comfortable in the unknown, are we? No, we're not. In general, human beings, crave certainty. It's what gives us power, right? We feel, to the degree that we can know and predict what's going to happen, we feel like we have control. We have power. We're going to be able to know what to do, when and how, and know how to be, know how to relate to things. But spiritual awakening opens us to a mystery beyond the mind, and it reveals to us a way of living where we actually start to discover that not knowing is a more powerful place than knowing. We start to discover that when we're able to suspend our need for certainty, our grasping after answers, that we become receptive and able to attune in a way that our mind, to a kind of knowing and a kind of wisdom capacity that our minds could never grasp, that our minds have no access to. We start to learn that letting go of the need to know, living in the unknown, actually enables us to see things more clearly. It enables us to be in relationship to reality as it is, not as our minds think it should be or want it to be or are trying to force it to be. So if you've had an experience of spiritual awakening of any kind, you probably notice this just relaxing of the grasping after knowledge. If you've encountered an awakened human being, you were probably surprised at the kind of natural humility and innocence they seem to have, just a kind of what Suzuki Roshi called a beginner's mind. You approach each moment with a beginner's mind, a mind that isn't grasping on, isn't trying to know, and in that is really available for the moment. So this capacity to not need to know, to be comfortable in the unknown, is one of the, I think, most powerful capacities we can access as human beings to deal with a time of so much uncertainty. And to start to find a way to not just sort of, when I say deal with, it's almost kind of like, okay, I'm just going to make it through. But if you get the gist of what I'm saying, this ability to really live into the unknown fearlessly is what can enable us to actually thrive in a moment when things aren't certain, to be powerful and strong and clear and creative and meet and wise, meet moments with wisdom, not reactive thinking. So the good news is we don't have to wait for enlightenment to bestow upon us this willingness to live in the unknown. It's something we can practice. And the perhaps easiest way to practice it is in meditation. Because when you sit still in meditation, you don't have to know anything. There's no requirement to know anything. You're just sitting there. And you can begin to relax your grip on the mind or the mind's grip on you, depending how you want to look at it. So I want to invite us now. The meditations we're going to do here will be short, just a few minutes. But I want to invite us now to just settle into meditation. You can do this with your eyes open or closed. If you have them open, though, I wouldn't recommend looking at me. Just look down at the floor, the wall, and just let your gaze become unfocused and soft, resting in one place. And in this moment, just allow yourself to not need to know anything at all. Just let go of the need to know anything. Give yourself the freedom to have no idea. No idea about this pandemic. No idea how you're going to deal with it. No idea what its impact's going to be. Just to let all of that go. Let go of any idea what meditation's supposed to feel like, or whether you're doing this practice right, or what it's supposed to make happen. Just let yourself be at ease in the unknown. As you're doing this practice, your mind may continue trying to know things. There's a lot of momentum to grasping onto knowledge inside each of us, and that momentum doesn't stop instantly. But it's okay. Notice that even though your mind might try to know something, you don't have to participate in that knowing. You see, what the mind does is it presents theories about things. Oh, I think the meditation's working. Oh, I don't think the meditation's working. I think I'm too emotionally upset to meditate. Oh, I think I'm having an experience of something. Should I really be doing this today, right now? The mind's going to ask questions, presents theories. But in doing this practice, you don't have to participate in that. You can just, every theory your mind puts up, every story your mind tries to tell, you just don't know. I don't know if any of that's true. I don't need to know. I'm not trying to know. I'm not looking for answers right now. I'm looking for that which is beyond the answers. That which is beyond the mind. So you just keep resting in the unknown, not needing to know. Now go ahead and begin to let go of the meditation practice, but just allow the essence of it, the fragrance of it, the momentum of it to just ripple on in your consciousness as we continue with the workshop. Let the seed of not knowing, this freedom from the known, just continue to germinate inside you. So how can we bring not knowing out of meditation and into our lives? Well, there are a lot of answers to that question, right? One thing we can do, and this now is moving into the category of what I call awakened life practices. We have meditation practices related to each of these inner postures, practice modalities, and we also have awakened life practices. It's how do I live an awakened life? How do I practice being innocent, being comfortable with the unknown as I go through my day? So there are simple things like observing your own need to know as it comes up, your own, the ways that you rush to judgment, the ways that you want to assert some new knowledge that you think you have because it's giving you a sense of security to know something. To just right now at this time with so much insecurity in our lives, it's a great time to practice this because we have so many opportunities to challenge this part of us that's just desperately grasping on to know something about what's going on and what's going to happen. So you're not trying to make that part of you wrong. You're not judging it. You're not trying to shut it down even. Practice is, what if I don't need to know that? Do I really know that, this thing? What's observing? Where is this coming from? You'll notice it's coming from some insecurity. Can I just be okay with the insecurity? Can I just make room for the feelings that are driving this need to know? And again, this isn't about not knowing anything in life. You know, life, we can only live a life by knowing things. You know, you couldn't really get out of bed. You certainly couldn't cook a meal if you didn't know something. So it's not about a radical rejection of the mind or a rejection of knowing. It's about, this is all about a transformation of in relation to our need to know. There's an emotional need to know that we're learning to become awake to, and then not be driven by it, to not be driven by it. So run your own experiments with awakened life practice. When you see yourself trying to know, see if you let go of the need to know. In other words, just you're moving toward innocence, openness, and receptivity, and away from or out of grasp, you know, fear-driven grasping for certainty. There's a positive movement we can make toward, I don't know. This is, you know, and there's a spirit of it, which is, it's kind of, this is an amazing time we're in. Then for the first time, there are fundamental elements of our lives that we can't, that we've always taken for granted would be there, that are just gone. I can't go to a restaurant to get some food. I can't be sure that if I got really sick, I could get into the hospital. I don't know what's going to happen with my finances. I don't know if my loved ones are going to be okay. There's so much unknown. So the opportunity for us to be the ones who can hold the unknown of this moment for ourselves and for everyone around us. When everyone else is scrambling to know, we can be the voice that says, wow, what an insecure moment. We don't know the answer to that. We'd like to know, but we can't know. Let's be, so there's openness, innocence, receptivity, and interest. So see, not knowing and not needing to know doesn't mean we aren't interested in what we might discover. It just means we're not holding on, we're not grasping on. The second area I want to explore has to do with the spiritual quality that's often known as equanimity. Equanimity. Equanimity means not being knocked off center. It means being rooted in a depth that is unaffected by the ups and downs of life, that's not being whipped from side to side by the volatility of what's happening in the world. Equanimity means whatever happens outside me, whatever happens inside me, even if I have strong, intense emotional reactions to things, I'm fundamentally centered in a place that is not affected, that is not knocked all over the place. It's like the metaphor, and this is one of the, another remarkable quality of awakened consciousness, of spiritual awakening. If you've had any experience of awakening or been around awakened human beings, we find that there's this ability to just be steady. There's a solidity, a kind of weight that we encounter, a depth. See, one confusion people have about spiritual awakening is they think, oh, maybe it means you just feel great all the time. You feel really great all the time. And you're happy all the time because you're knowing the divine source of things and it makes you happy all the time. And there's a kind of truth to that in the sense that when we do discover our essential nature, when we do discover the beauty and profundity and depth that is at the root of all this, that is our the essence of our own consciousness, there is a kind of fundamental happiness that's always there, a fundamental sense of positivity no matter what happens, that's not rocked. But, you know, we, any awakened human being is still an emotional human being who cares about things that happen in this world and is invested in things that they want to have happen in this world and experiences all the emotional ups and downs of life like anyone else. But the equanimity that we see and that we encounter in awakening comes from being rooted in that, being grounded in that, that is not subject to the comings and goings, to the ups and downs. It's like there are good metaphors for this, like a big strong tree with its roots going deep into the earth. No matter how strong the storm winds are that hit it, it doesn't blow it over because it's rooted so deep. Or a metaphor of like a giant boulder sitting in a riverbed. No matter how intense the floodwaters, how deep and furious the floodwaters get, the boulder just sits there unmoved because it has so much mass. It has so much weight. So both of these are good metaphors for what spiritual depth is for, that gives us this equanimity, this ability to be unmoved in a good way. Obviously, we want to be able to be moved in a good way too, in a different way. But in terms of what equanimity is, where we just don't get knocked off center, our roots don't get pulled up. We don't get blown around by the storm. We're able to be a steady, powerful presence. Just think about what's been going on and all the kind of reactions people are having. Imagine a world where we had even 10% of us who held this kind of equanimity, this kind of depth, this weight I'm talking about. We could be a source of so much steadiness, reliability, strength for everyone around us. So again, this is not something we need to wait for a lightning bolt of spiritual awakening to give us equanimity. It's something that we can practice in meditation, which opens the door to the depth in meditation and to awakened consciousness. It's also something we can practice in life. So I want to again invite you to settle into a meditation posture, relax, close your eyes, or just look down and soft gaze again somewhere. So I want to invite you to just be still, to physically sit still, and to inwardly be still. Just allow yourself to relax into a place in yourself that is unmoving. Your mind, you know, as we go through our life right now, our mind might be swinging all over the place. Our emotions might be going all over the place. But what is the place that isn't moving. Come to rest in the part of yourself that is deeply still, always. There is a part of us that is untouched by the winds of time and change. That is always already at peace, at ease. I'm inviting you to take up a posture in which you make room for everything, but react to nothing. Some of you may be able to access it as a place in yourself, as a deep stillness and quiet rootedness. But if you can't, you don't know where to look for that, that's okay too. Just take up a posture in yourself. That can include everything. Every feeling, every thought, every uncertainty. Not moving toward anything, not pulling away from anything. Not getting involved in anything. Just deeply still, deeply at peace. Now allow yourself to let go of the meditation. And again, just let it continue naturally in the background, joining the seed of not knowing. Now you've got a seed planted of deep equanimity. Just let them germinate in your consciousness and continue to unfold in whatever way they do naturally. So it's possible in life to, even as we move through the world and engage with things and are trying to actively change things and do things and make things happen, it's possible to do it all from a place where we're deeply anchored in this kind of infinite center, this profound depth. And it's something that we can practice. There's an awakened life practice for this too. There are a lot of them actually, but the one I want to invite you to take out into your life today is to just practice attuning to this place in yourself that is solid, deep, weighty, still, and that does not get blown around by the chaos swirling around you. And so as you, that's like the first part of the practice. And then as you're holding that intention going through your life, you then observe what pulls you, what blows you off center, what triggers you into reactivity. You know, start to notice in yourself when you're feeling frazzled or overwhelmed or, you know, off kilter, off center. You notice you react to something, you know, overreact to something, and with a kind of intensity, and you just kind of go, okay, I'm getting blown all over the place. Take a moment. And you don't have to turn, you close your eyes and go within. See, a lot of us think, okay, I got all, Craig's telling me I need to meditate constantly throughout my day to do this. But that's not what I mean. What I really mean is just take a moment to remind yourself to make room for everything, to not be reactive, to step into the stillness, and explore what it's like to live from that center. To live from that centeredness. The third practice modality or inner posture of awakening that I want to talk about is something all of us on the spiritual path have heard about. Surrender. Surrender. Now, there are a lot of different, people mean a lot of different things by surrender. I'm not going to give a long discourse on it today. Those of you who've been in some of my programs have heard me talk in great detail about what I don't mean by surrender, perhaps as much as what I do mean. But particularly in relation to this moment we're experiencing on the planet right now, one of the things that is being most deeply challenged in us is our desire to control outcomes, to control what's going to happen. You know, even if we know we don't have ultimate control over our fate, that accidents can happen and all kinds of unexpected things happen and can happen and do happen to everybody, you know, the reality is we all assume a level of control in our lives. And we tend to find that the more control we have, the more successful we can be, the better we can be at achieving our goals, reaching certain outcomes. You know, we generally have, being in control is a good thing. Having control is a good thing. When you're driving the car, you want to have control over its path down the road. You want to have control over your finances and not have them just be subject to, you know, unforeseen circumstances. We want, you know, it's a good, generally good, but of course, we've probably also all seen how compulsively trying to control things is a pathology that a lot of us have in different ways. And that when it comes to spiritual awakening, it actually is a major obstacle, our need to be in control. Because spiritual awakening is opening us to a way of living that in which we are really giving up control. We're really, and when I say we, I mean our ego structure that's trying to know what's going to happen, predict outcomes, control what's going to happen, keep the whole thing together. That ultimately has to fall apart and give way to a completely different order of knowing, responding, expressing, living that will start to flow in our life and move through us to the degree that we get out of the way. You've all heard of getting out of the way. You know, yeah, to wake up, you have to get out of the way. So surrender in this context means I'm surrendering control. And right now, there's so much we don't have control over, right? I don't need to do the list again. We just look around us. This feels like the world's spinning out of control and all kinds of control we thought we had over our own life and what we're going to do day to day is vanished. So I think it's a very good time for us to practice surrendering. So what that means in meditation is it means, well, actually, just go ahead and take your meditation posture again, eyes open or closed. If they're open, just look down softly. And for this moment of meditation, I want to invite you to simply not try to control what's happening. To let go of trying to make anything happen. Just let everything be exactly as it is right now. Let yourself be as you are right now. Letting things be means not trying to change anything at all about this moment.
you might notice an impulse to try to change something. You might feel like, oh, I'm meditating. I'm supposed to feel really peaceful right now. Let me try to make any agitating feelings go away. I need to release them. I need to, you know, let them go. No, you don't. You need to just let them be. Really, the deepest kind of letting go is letting be, because you're letting go of trying to change anything. You're accepting, you're surrendering. You're just being with reality as it is. Surrender means not needing things to be any other way. Not insisting that something's wrong or something's should be other than this. We're just allowing each moment to unfold into the next moment, allowing our experience to change from one thing to the next. Without trying to steer it or control it. Allow yourself to gently let go of the meditation. Again, allowing this seed of surrender to take its place alongside the seed of equanimity and the seed of not knowing, and just allow them to continue to germinate within you and open themselves in your experience. Take a moment to share what you experienced of surrender. on the thread. Or any insights that opened up. Now, a lot of people have confused the idea of surrender in daily life with a kind of passivity. They confused surrender with just accepting everything that happens as though everything happens for a reason or was meant to happen. And we're just supposed to accept whatever happens in life and not try to do anything about it. That is definitely not what I mean by surrender in life. In meditation, yes. What we just did, you let it all happen. You let it all be. But how can we bring this practice of surrender that I'm describing into an awakened life practice? See, it really, there's kind of two parts to what I want to share here. One has to do with a willingness to really see things as they are, to really face reality, as people say. Face reality. Don't avoid reality. Don't avoid what's happening. We're deeply conditioned to avoid uncomfortable truths, to look away from things we don't want to see or don't know how to make sense of. So making a practice, see, it's not about accepting everything that happens as though it's all supposed to happen this way. It's what's happening. I'm going to have the surrender to face what's happening, to really want to see the truth, to want to see what's really going on, to be intimate with reality, to be face to face with what is. And in that, the other part of kind of active surrender that I want to talk about is about becoming fluid and flexible and agile, able to, because see, if we're really in touch with what's going on, if we're really allowing ourselves to be face to face with reality as it is, that gives us the opportunity to respond and move with life. You know, we've all seen that when we try to over control things, that we don't tend to be very able to quickly respond to new events. Whereas, you know, in a moment like this, where the stories, the script is changing every day, one day you're going about your life, the next day you're supposed to stay home, and suddenly all this cascades of change, you know, where am I going to work? How am I going to do it? How am I going to get food? How do I not contaminate myself when I'm getting food? Go to the store. What do? Do I wear gloves? Do I sanitize? You know, it's all changing so fast. So we want to be people who are just able to fluidly change. I think like water going down like a dry creek bed, and then there's a thunderstorm and the water starts running down the dry creek bed. What is the water doing? It's just, it hits a rock, it moves around it. It hits a tree branch, it dumps up a little and then goes over the top of it. It's just finding its way fluidly. We want to become like water. Water running downhill, able to just fluidly move to find our way down. So that takes a kind of surrender, a kind of, okay, I'm going to go with the flow. I'm going to flow with life. It doesn't mean I'm not actively making choices, and decisions and, you know, navigating. We're navigating, but we're navigating ideally from this deeper wisdom component that's arising because of our not knowing. Because we've been willing to be comfortable in the unknown, we have access to wisdom. And then this surrender gives us the agility, the ability to freely move and respond to what's occurring without rigidity. That's really what I'm trying to get at. We're breaking up the rigidity. And so anywhere
So the practice is really those two things. It's turning toward uncomfortable truth, really, you know, questioning and challenging our biases, questioning and challenging our unconscious assumptions. I want to see and know what's true here so that I can move with freedom and agility and fluidity through life as an active, wise participant, creative responder to what's happening. And so you work with that, and then you observe where your rigidity comes up. You observe, oh, I can feel it. You know, you start to feel it. Oh, there I am being rigid. There I am insisting things have to go this way when really it's not going to work. And it comes up a lot right now, right? Because suddenly you're told, oh, you can't go out. You're like, I want to be able to go out. What about this? What about that? Or you feel your rigidity. It's like, let me practice surrender. Not in an unconscious way, not in a passive way, not in an absolute way in life, but in a way that enables us to really be responsive, agile. This next inner posture I want to speak about is, it's related, it kind of builds on what we've been speaking about, but it's a little different thing. You see, one of probably the most extraordinary insight of spiritual awakening, the most arresting, the one that turns our world upside down the most, is this mysterious kind of almost kind of mind-stopping revelation that reality in its very essence, and that you in your very essence, are already whole and complete, lacking nothing. See, we live our lives with a sense that there's somewhere to get to in the future, that there's some with an idealized future when our circumstances will be just right and our inner world will be just right. We've healed ourselves enough. We've, you know, processed our trauma enough. We've done our work, whatever. And we're now at a place where we can really live. We're at a place where we can fully let go. And we sort of put off our enlightenment into the future, but we even just put off fully living into the future. It's always somewhere out there. And we do it because this moment doesn't seem adequate. We look around, there's all kinds of things that could be better. And we look inside ourselves and we feel there's a lot that could be better there too. So we live. We live for the future. We live oriented for this future we're getting to. But the radical insight of spiritual awakening is that there's nowhere else to go. There's no better moment waiting. This moment is it. This moment, if I could just turn fully toward it, give all of myself to it, it's already full. It's already overflowing. The sacredness, the illumination that I've been seeking has never not been here. It's always been shot through every moment of life. I'm already that which I'm seeking.
this insight shatters the illusion of lack. It floods us with the knowledge of fullness and wholeness, completeness, even a sense of perfection, that in its essence, reality is perfect. Maybe not on the surface, maybe not in the details, but everything is arising out of and expressing this perfect essence if we can see it. So the reason I'm bringing this up in this context is that this is a moment when things seem so far from full or whole or perfect. Things seem so upside down. So I feel it's a profound moment for us to practice fully embracing this moment, because this practice runs so counter to all the reactivity to our time. So I want to invite you again into a brief meditation. Just for a few minutes right now, let go of the future. Let go of any idea of a better future that's waiting for you. Allow yourself to embrace this moment, this exact moment, as the only moment there is. And to just for a brief practice, stop insisting that there's something missing. Let go of the idea that there's something wrong with reality. It means whatever you're experiencing is enough. It's it. Even with everything happening in the world, life is good. All you need to do to practice this is let go of the future, embrace the moment exactly as it is, and let go of the idea that something's missing. This is the moment you've been waiting for. We'll go ahead and begin to let go of the meditation. Allowing it to just take root inside you and let it do its work and flow on into your life in whatever way it does. So how does this insight that the moment is already whole, that nothing's missing, that this is it? How does this come into an awakened life practice that we can do during the day? Two brief components I want to speak about. Well, I'm just going to combine them into one. Essentially, the practice I want to invite you to do related to this posture is to practice being a wholehearted yes to life in every moment. Because, see, when we realize that there's nowhere else to go and there's nothing to wait for, we have an opportunity to turn to the life we're in right now, the moment we're living right now, and give it everything. It means to be fully present for the moment we're in, for the people we're with, for the situation in front of us. But when I say fully present, I mean in the deepest way, to bring all of the capacities that we've just practiced over this last hour and a half, I guess, to bring all of that to bear on every moment. See, the thing is, this practice is about giving up waiting and not postponing. So we have to observe in ourselves all the ways we're waiting, all the ways we're postponing that wholeheartedness. I can't fully give myself now because I might need some for later. But when you open to your essence in the way I'm describing, you're tapping into an infinite power, an infinite wisdom, an infinite love and creativity. It's not something that runs out. It's not something you have to save up and, I can only give a little bit here because I might need it another day. And, things aren't quite really right now, but they'll be better. No, it's only when we give ourselves fully to the life we're in, to the moment we're in, and we allow ourselves to be an unleashed force into the world and into the moment, that then the floodgates open and that flow starts to come through us and it flows endlessly. It only stops flowing if we dam it up, if we say, no, enough, too much. I want to get things back in control again. I want to get things back to where I can know again and predict again. As long as we're willing to let go in the ways that we've been practicing here today and to then fully invest our whole life in this moment as a big unconditional yes, to express all this now, then anything's possible. A whole and extraordinary life becomes possible. And it's not something we're having to generate and figure out how to do. It's happening naturally because it's our natural state. Everything I've spoken about here is just the natural expression of your true nature, of who you really already are. And these practices can support you to let that essential nature, that awakened essence, begin to express and ultimately become your only home and take over your whole life. So
I guess there's really just maybe two other pieces I want to share about how an awakened perspective can really support us during this time. So one is about how we are orienting to everything that's happening. So humans tend to relate to disruption as a negative thing, right? Things are falling apart. Things aren't going according to plan. That's bad. But there's another truth about us humans, and it's something we can really leverage, which is that disruption tends to open the door to new growth and new potentials. It's like if everything's working well and we're going along the status quo and, you know, our life's working and everything's kind of ordered, and we don't tend to change that much because there's no need to change. Things are working. When things stop working, it opens the door to radical creativity and radical transformation. And, you know, Benjamin Nicholas Taleb wrote an interesting book a few years ago called Anti-Fragile. And he was talking about what it is to be anti-fragile, which is the opposite of fragile. And his point was that we think of the opposite of being fragile, we think of as resilient, which means, you know, fragile means it breaks easily. Resilient means doesn't break easily, right? Can hold together amidst stresses and pressures. And we might think our goal in this moment is to be resilient, just to not, you know, fall apart, just to keep it together. How many of us feel, I just want to keep it together amidst all this, keep my finances together, keep my career, keep my family, my relationships, my health, my, you know, I just want to keep it all together. But Taleb's point in Anti-Fragile is there's a different orientation, which is how do we get stronger in the face of breakdown? You know, he gives countless examples from society, even the human body. You know, if you lift weights, your muscles don't just stay the same. They get stronger because you stress them. The body gets stronger in the face of stresses. We have a potential to let this really catalyze new things in our lives. And I just want to invite all of us as evolutionaries, as spiritual practitioners, to relate to this that way, to really say, okay, it doesn't take away. This is horrible what's happening. Potentially millions of people are going to die from this pandemic. It's absolutely tragic. We're going to do everything we can. I hope everyone on this planet's going to do everything in their power to reduce the harm that's going to come. But we can also stand in a place of how can I allow this disruption to open the door to new potentials and really be in an evolutionary orientation of what new can come out of this? What, you know, what new capacities can you develop? What new projects might you launch? How might this transform your career into something else because you had to? How might this transform your relationships because you had to? How might this transform your spiritual life? I mean, I do want to point out that if you have a lot more time at home, it's a great opportunity to do more spiritual practice. Treat it as a retreat if you can. Meditate a lot more. Or, you know, use it as an opportunity to learn a new skill that you've wanted to learn. You know, there's so many ways that we can orient to this that can bring some positive out of something that is, of course, in its essence, horrific. And the last thing I want to say about that is we also, as I said at the beginning, there are a lot of leaders in this community. A lot of you are people who have other people who look to you for support, answers, help in large and small ways. And I feel as spiritual practitioners, as conscious people who have access to the kind of tools I just shared, we can really use this as an opportunity to rise up to a level of leadership that we never have and to serve the human family in new ways because we are needed. There is going to be so much pain. There already is, but there is going to be so much pain and suffering and disruption going on around us. Again, we don't know. I'm not predicting. I'm just reading all the projections by all the epidemiologists and experts. This is economists, et cetera. You know, this is, a lot is going to be
hitting, you know, happening over the next year at least, that's going to need us. And this is another orientation that can really take us out of our own anxiety, fear, struggle, etc. How can I help? Who is being impacted more than me, and how can I help them? And what new level of leadership and generosity of spirit can I rise to in this moment for the greater good? What capacity, you know, and all those voices of limitation, well, I just gave you all the tools to go beyond them. So sure, they'll come up. Do these practices we did here, and you've got the capacities you need to not be stopped. So I think I'll bring my formal workshop to an end there. Thanks for your time and energy to be here. I hope some of this was helpful and continues to be helpful to you in your life and your practice. Be gentle on yourself. Take care of yourself. Take care of those around you. We are incredibly anti-fragile creatures, and we can get through this and we'll end up stronger as a result. So hang in there. And please post a comment after about, so I can read them, because I haven't been able to read them all. It's been going, but share now about how this whole event went for you and what you're taking away. And thank you so much for being here. Much love. Bye, everyone.